You're tuned in to the Kojo Namdi show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Well, you know, it's out, the Mueller report. It's available if you want to see it on the Justice Department website. NPR is also making it available at its website. So this is your turn. We'd like to know what you think. What was your reaction to the release of the Mueller report? Joining me in studio is Patrice Onwuka. She is a senior policy analyst at Independent Women's Forum, a conservative organization focused on policies and issues affecting women and their families. Patrice Onwuka, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
What's the main conclusion you've drawn from what we've heard about the report so far?
It's not surprising. I think there we have yet to see any evidence of collusion, and now that's confirmed. Whether there was a conspiracy, I think it's going to be in the eye of the beholder. Those who support the president will continue to say no conspiracy. Those who continue to oppose him will continue to say, yes, there's something there. And I can't wait to dig into the 400 pages to find some nugget that I guess the investigators have not found.
And much of the conversation that we've been hearing for the past hour or so has been focusing increasingly on whether or not there was obstruction of justice on the part of the president. Obviously, an issue that won't be resolved during the course of the next few minutes, hours, days, and maybe even weeks.
No. And I think that's why people want to get into the actual details of the report to see if there are any rabbit holes that they can, federal investigators, particularly in Congress, can kind of chase down and go after. I think the big headline here is that there is no collusion. But most importantly, even more than that, it's that Russia did try to meddle in our elections and they did try to sow discord between Americans. And the question is whether our system of government is ready for 2020 election cycle, whether our social media platforms are ready to weed out any sort of meddling that's probably going to happen again.
We've certainly got more than enough notice about the likelihood of Russian intrusion into the election process. But there's also been a lot of discussion around the redaction of the report by Attorney General Barr and how much of it needed to be kept from the public. What do you think about what the public gets to see in the final report?
It's great when you can show as much as possible to the American people. How many people are actually going to sit down and go through all 400 pages is another question. I think here in the D.C. bubble, you're going to have people who are willing to do that. There's something about transparency when we see what can be showed to us, but I think there's nothing wrong with protecting our national interests by having those redactions. What it does do, though, is that it undermines, for those who oppose the president, it undermines their view of this investigation. And they're going to say, well, because we can't see everything, that obviously, there's something being hidden, and, you know, we can question whether this summary or this report is actually truthful, or if there's something hidden that we don't know about.
And there are probably a lot of people like me who, in the short term, scroll through the entire 400 pages just to look and see how many black spots there are.
And count them.
Count them and then come to no really logical conclusion about mm-hmm. what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. Barr has said certain members of Congress, however, we'll be able to see a full unredacted version of the report aside from some portions that by law cannot be shared. What do you make of that news? Should they be able to?
I think it's important for transparency that they do. If it's legal that they can, then okay, that's fine. The question is what happens afterwards. Well, we're very likely to see leaking coming from Congress because, where else leaks better other than a sieve than congressional committees? And it particularly leaking of any sort of episodes, testimony that may hint at some sort of impropriety on the part of the Trump campaign or those in the Trump orbit, just again to undermine the president. And that's, I think, what's unfortunate. And unfortunately, even more than that, the eye will be taken off the ball of, are we sure? Are we sure that our elections will be safe and secure? And more focus will be on, should the president be in the seat that he holds, and should he be reelected in 2020 based on this?
Patrice, your work involves national policy and politics, so this is very much in your wheelhouse professionally, but you also live locally in suburban Maryland. What would you say the reaction has been locally among friends and neighbors to the ongoing investigation and now to the release of the Mueller report?
Sure. So when I do talk to my family and friends and attendees at church about policy, technically they want to ask, okay, Patrice, what's the bottom line? And with this report, I think there are people who have said, you know what, I think that there's the Trump administration or President Trump did something wrong while he was running for office, and this report is going to say so. Others who say, no, I think he's clear. I think this is just a hoax. And I think it's split pretty evenly in thirds. 33% support him, 33%. 33% oppose him, and 33% really don't know. And I think that's interesting because it's very reflective of what we look at on national polling. But in general, that third of voters who don't know where what the president did or did not do before he became president during the campaign, you know, I think they're open to the idea of, okay, if there was some impropriety, then hey, wait a minute, his presidency, we can call that into question. For those who now, having seen both the AG Barr's summary and now the Mueller report today, I think it's going to settle in a lot of people's minds. Okay, there really wasn't any impropriety here. Let's let the country move forward at this point.
And what percentage of people you've been running into, in church or at the supermarket, who say, you know what I'm really concerned about? My tax refund was not as big as it has been in years past.
That was huge.
I'm really concerned about what's going on locally in terms of affordable housing. I'm really concerned about corruption among our local political leaders. Mm-hmm. Enough already with the Mueller report.
People are very concerned about their schools, the quality of their schools. If you live in a county that has some sort of scandals with your school board and teachers, people who pedophiles in our school systems, I think those are more of the day-to-day issues that people really care about. And this week being the end of the tax season, dispelling misperceptions about tax refund sizes was a huge part of what I did after church was done on Sunday. And for the past 2 years, I've talked about the tax cuts and why they were good for American families. So that's really been where the focus is. Those bread and butter issues are what NAPOL nationally is most important, but also locally. You know, is the pothole being fixed in my road? Am I ready for spring? You know, and what are we doing for Easter vacation?
Let's start with Rob in Kingsville, Maryland. Rob, your turn.
Hey, Gojo. Good to be listening. Thanks for taking my call. So I've really been following. I'm really interested in the release of the Mueller report. I mean, this is something that's been hanging over our head for, the past 2 or 3 years. So, yes, we definitely want to give, you know, adequate attention to local issues. But, you know, this is something that's been causing a lot of angst for most of the country for the past 2 or 3 years. So I definitely think the attention is worthy. My issue, though, is with media outlets trying to so quickly draw conclusions before really fully digesting the report. I think that has quite a few negative consequences on, the Democratic and neutral side. It seems like people are trying to pull things out of the report before fully processing it, and that can lead to mistakes in what they say, which may mislead people and push people further away if they're not careful about drawing conclusions. And on the Republican side, it seems like they're trying to say that, oh yeah, we just got this 400-page report, and 5 minutes after the release of it, we say there's no conclusions or no evidence of further. You know,
I do understand what you're saying, and I'd like to bring Patricia and Wuka in on this conversation in two ways. One of the ways is the partisanship that Rob talks about. We are in a country that is more divided politically than I have ever seen it in my own lifetime. So there's clearly partisanship here. Also, however, there's the fact that we live in a digital environment in which the news media have to understand and account for the fact that people are going to be commenting on this in social media and in all kinds of forums. So the news media itself, in trying to keep up or trying to stay ahead, is, as our caller says, indulging in a lot of, he feels, speculation without having read all of the 400 pages.
Well, that's absolutely true. And it depends on what news media you're watching or reading. Generally, I think most Americans, probably 80%, will agree that each news outlet has their own political slant. Unfortunately, it's choosing how to present information as well as what information to present. And so you're going to get a filtered review of what came out today. Unfortunately, you're not going to get just a straight off the top for most news outlets. That's what's unfortunate. When it comes to partisan politics, though, you know, it really does break down on partisan lines where Americans view this investigation and whether and the president's innocence of this. Most people who lean left think that, you know, he's not innocent, and this investigation is not necessarily going to quell their concerns. Most people who lean right believe that this is a hoax and this was a waste of taxpayer dollars from the start. And so for those slither of folks in the middle who are not not sure, you know, maybe this will put this, this will answer the question that's been hanging over the administration's head in many people's minds. But again, where you get your news is going to make an important decision on that. And 49% of Americans still get most of their television, their news from television. And most importantly, 33% of those get them from local news programs. So what you're watching tonight is really going to depend on what kind of slant you get in terms of what the results of this, of this report were.
You and the IWF both clearly have a constituency, and you tweeted out your conclusions about the report much earlier today. How important is that?
I was getting on the record as, you know, what I took away from AG Barr's discussion or his press conference, and it underscoring what he said in his summary and also what we've seen from, you know, over the past 2 years. And so, yes, I did say it seems like there's no collusion. Did Russia meddle? Yes. Did the president in his campaign work with Russia to meddle? No. And I was very clear with that. And so
it was
I
accompanied
look forward
by a gift of a cat shaking his head, his or her head. No.
Well, you know, gifts always are great for getting retweets. But I think it's pretty fair to say that, yeah, that I think that's what we've been thinking. We've been wanting to see and understand. And today's report, as well as the press conference, underscores what was already released about a week or two ago from Attorney General Barr.
Rob, email, for God's sake, let go of this obsession with being first. Stop reporting news on the fly. Take the time to actually read the Mueller report and then put together a full reasoned analysis, even if it takes a day or two. This trying to report or analyze on the air while you're actually reading the document is very poor journalism. It may be, as Rob says, very poor journalism, Patrice. But on the other hand, if all of the news media take 1 or 2 days to read the 400-page report and then come out with a reasoned analysis of what it think it says, by then they may have lost most of their readers, listeners, and viewers.
It is, after all, Good Friday tomorrow. Passover begins, Easter on Sunday. So it is, a lot of people will be tuning out. I want to just explain one thing, and I think most people understand that, but a lot of people don't. In the news cycle, you have different types of people, and you've got the journalists who are supposed to be reporting just straight up news. Then you've got the political pundits, the people who provide commentary, who are really providing that analysis and character, really putting what we're seeing in the news in some sort of context for regular folks to understand. And I think those two get conflated, particularly in different types of networks where the journalists who are supposed to be just reporting news are providing commentary, and very rarely does it go the other way around. And so it is important when you are watching the news or reading, you understand what is this perspective. I, for example, I'm not a journalist. I'm a political commentary person. So that means that I'm providing some context to what's to a news story that's coming out, and I'm going to present probably both sides of an argument, but the solution that I think is the best one. And I tend to come from a limited government perspective. I tend to come from a conservative perspective. So when people are listening to the news, hopefully you're deciphering where this person is coming from and whether they are actually a journalist or whether they are just providing some sort of context and colorful opinion commentary for you.
Here now is Jack in Reston, Virginia. Jack, your turn.
Hello, Mr. Nnamdi. Thank you. In regard to the Mueller report, a reporter said today that the report indicates that the Russian government, that some agencies within the Russian government, perhaps President Putin himself, who knows, had something to do with exposing the so-called Democratic National Committee to the American people for their very anti-democratic actions of running unfair primaries in favor of Mrs. Clinton and against the supporters of Senator Sanders. So I think that Americans, that if this report is true and if this summary was accurate about what it says, then Americans who want democracy for the United States should thank the Russian government. And that's my comment.
I'd like to hear Patrice Onwuka's comment in response to your comment.
I cannot confirm or deny what the caller just mentioned. I think it's an interesting idea. And so, you know, I would hesitate to jump to congratulate or thank any sort of foreign government on their interference in our election cycle. I think that's concerning. But the larger point about whether certain campaigns were being helped more than others by the political parties and the political campaigns, that's an interesting issue.
The Sanders supporters obviously felt that the Democratic National Committee was giving more assistance to the Clinton campaign than it was to them. How about the Trump campaign?
Whether the RNC was doing the same thing? I don't think that there has been that allegation. It does speak to how our candidates are determined and decided, the political processes behind them, the transparency behind those decisions. And I hopefully both parties and both campaigns have worked through and committees have worked through how they determine who's going to be elevated above others. And hopefully those are democratic processes.
Here's Melissa in Alexandria, Virginia. Melissa, your turn.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to the NPR review before your show came on, and I thought there were several issues that were not discussed, even though the information was given out. Barr stated that Trump had offered all the information that they had asked for in this for this report, but the report distinctly says that he refused. So Barr has been contradicted already. The other things were that there's no discussion of why they didn't investigate why Trump met with Putin individually with no records taken twice. That's happened twice. And no one has raised any issues about that. The other is that in the report, it was proven that Russia hacked into the election in 2018, but no federal agency will agree or come up with any solutions to how we can protect our upcoming election.
Well, we're talking about 2016 as opposed to 2018.
Oh, sorry. Right? Yeah, you're right about that. But 2020... you know, it's clearly going to be happening, and the I've forgotten who the particular agencies are that are responsible for that, but they've indicated that, yeah, it's going to happen, and there's nothing we can do about it.
As to the one-on-one meetings that President Trump had with President Vladimir Putin of Russia, as everybody knows, the report has 400 pages, so I don't know if there's any reference at all to that in the reports. Have you heard anything at all, Patrice?
I haven't. And the good question is, are you referring to meetings he's had with Putin as president?
Post-presidency? Yes.
Yeah, that's an important because world leaders do.
Yes, as president.
You're talking about meetings he had as president. I don't know if that may have been covered in the investigation, since the investigation was not about the post-presidential period.
So this investigation stops at the election when it seems very clear by his statements and his actions that he still has close ties with Russia, especially the meeting he had with the Russian ambassador. What was his name? Kiss something. Where they greeted each other with open arms.
I know we do have to move on because there are a lot of other people who call in, but you probably are reflecting on the Whitewater investigation, which started as an investigation of a land deal in the state of Arkansas and somehow ended up someplace else with a dress and all kinds of stuff going on. And I think a lot of people see that as the kind of precedent for this, and so expected that this was not only look into what happened during the election, but in the post-election period. There's no evidence so far that the report looked extensively at what happened with President Trump in his relationship with Russia post-election, post-campaign. Thank you for your call. On now to David in Washington, D.C. David, your turn.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to make three quick points. The first one is your last caller. I feel really bad because your current guest has made some great points about the difference between political commentators and actual reporters. And it seems like the last guest you had been listening to a lot of political commentators who just speculate, because Trump meeting with Putin privately is something that every president has done with Putin. Meeting with him privately is something that heads of state do. And if you actually care about moving forward with the country, there has to be the understanding that there needs to be privacy, that everything that you say in a meeting cannot be leaked out. And with how much leaking that has been going on in the government lately since Trump's been in office, which is unprecedented if you look back from Obama previously, it's the most leaky government in history. We definitely don't want that when it comes to foreign leaders. The next point is that we keep hearing that the DNC hack was done by the Russians. This is factually not true, and I'm really upset to hear from NPR and CNN and MSNBC and even Fox that this is an accusation, because there was actually a study that was done by several independent researchers that showed that the download speeds for the files, because the metadata contains the download speeds for the files, was actually exceeding the bandwidth that the DNC allowed. So the only possible way for those files to have been downloaded was with a thumb drive or a hard drive connected directly into the server. So the only way the information could have been transferred and actually downloaded was if somebody was inside the DNC doing it. The last point I wanted to make is that your guest said that, you know, people are going to believe what they want based when this report comes out. The fact of the matter is, it's objectively true or not. And what we know is it's objectively false. Trump did not collude, and Trump did not try to compromise the investigation at all. People have been saying all day about how he possibly could have wanted to fire Mueller. If he fired Mueller, that is his right. I think it would have been a bad political move, but it still would have been his right to do, just like it was his right to fire Comey. So I just think that there's a lot of misinformation out there right now, and unfortunately, people aren't reporting actual facts. They're reporting speculation.
Well, allow me to have Patrice deal with this aspect of what you're saying. I'm in the news business, so my focus on this might not reflect that of the average person. How closely do you think people are actually following this? We had David here on the line who was reflecting a hypothesis, a theory that it originated from the DNC, and we all know about a conspiracy theory involving the young former DNC employee who was murdered here in Washington, D.C., and the speculation about why he was murdered. His own family and everybody else has about debunked that conspiracy theory. But just how closely are some people following this?
Oh, not closely at all. A Fox News poll released a couple of days ago, just before this this report was going to be released, found that 35% of registered voters, people who would be politically engaged, didn't even know who AG Barr was, which is very interesting. And so that speaks to both, you know, the lack of interest, the lack of understanding, and probably the complexity of this entire investigation and how it's been presented in the news. Some might say on purpose to make it complex so that people will just kind of tune it out and just take the headline, which is either he colluded or he didn't collude, either he obstructed or he didn't obstruct. You know, the last caller, I think we would agree on a lot of things, but particularly to you know, the point about political commentary versus straight up journalism and reporting. And I think it's very important that we be honest about, if your commentary, what's my position, and if you're a journalist, am I being biased in my reporting?
It is your turn. Do you think the release of the Mueller report will change any minds, or are you more concerned about issues closer to home? It's your turn. I'm Kojo Namdi.
This month at WAMU, we're lifting our voices to shine a light on Black changemakers throughout American history. Some you know and some you don't, but they all change the world. Go to WAMU.org/lifteveryvoice to learn the stories of these incredible African American changemakers and to hear special interviews spotlighting those who have impacted the arts, sciences, sports, and activism. Go to WAMU.org/lifteveryvoice.
Welcome. We're talking in the wake of the release of the Mueller report, which is being covered by news media around the country and which you can find on the Justice Department's website, or if you go to NPR.org, you can find it there. We're talking about what your reactions are to the report, or whether you are concerned that there is too much attention on this report and there are local issues about which you are more concerned. It is your turn. Joining me in studio is Patrice Onwuka. She's a senior policy analyst at the Independent Women's Forum, a conservative organization focused on policy policies and issues affecting women and their families. You're an analyst with, as we said, IWF, living here in a very liberal and progressive area. Do you find yourself ever holding back when it comes to expressing your own political views? You're surrounded by enemies.
Well, actually, I think in my neighborhood, there are probably more conservatives than I know. But generally, when I'm in a new company of people, I tend to be a little bit more tepid or cautious in my responses on political questions of the day. And then sometimes something slips and, you know, people, their eyes open because I'm a Black woman, I'm young, I'm also an immigrant. And so the expectation is that I would lean left when in fact I do lean right. But on different issues, I work across the aisle, like criminal justice reform. I was extremely excited about legislation that passed in bipartisan last year. First Step. So it's very fun when people, when I say, yes, the tax cuts were fantastic, and here's why, then eyes open. And then, you know, sometimes it's an open doorway and sometimes it's just slam shut. I'm not going to listen to this woman. So
on to the phones. Here's Kim in Middleburg. Kim, your turn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was NPR where we got both sides of the story.
Well, this is where you hear NPR if you are in this region, because we are the station that brings you all of the NPR coverage here. So, but go ahead. If you want to comment on the NPR coverage, this is the place to do it.
Yeah, I'm not hearing equal representation like I'm used to hearing when I turn on NPR. I thought it was Fox, actually, for a while. It sounds so one-sided, and I'm not hearing the other side. And I think this issue, even though it may not be as important to people as their everyday occurrence for our history and going forward as a country to maintain the democracy we count on, I think it's very important. And I don't hear, except for people calling in, a few, I don't hear the other side of the story, that there are a lot.
Have you been listening to our analyst, Patrice Onwuka? Have you been listening to the analyst we have in studio?
Yeah, I've been listening to her. And she's definitely saying that determinations have been made that I don't think have, that anyone, even if you're an analyst, it could have a right to say this is the facts. I mean, people are out there and they're not always paying attention to everything. So I think everything that NPR broadcasts, people kind of are trusting, and this is upsetting to me because I find it not to be anything decided here, and that we need to ask a lot more questions. And although it may not be the most important thing in everyone's day, I think it is important, like I said, as us going forward as a free democracy.
Okay, as I said, we are the NPR affiliate here in Washington, and we have had people complaining that they're hearing too much of a liberal perspective, but NPR, in fact, prides itself on bringing to its audience both or several sides of an issue. So we'll just have to see what happens over the course of the next few hours or days, but thank you very much for your call. On now to Anne in Silver Spring. Anne, your turn.
Thank you, Kojo. My question is, what exactly do we mean by redacted? Because when I look in the dictionary, there are different definitions. One is to bring an item into a presentable literary form, to edit it.
That's not what it means in this situation.
Oh, that's what it means in this situation?
No, it's not. What it means in this situation is the answer you're about to give.
Yeah, the other is revise or edit.
Yeah, I think that was a more accurate description of what we're seeing in this situation. It has been edited, and according to the Attorney General, those redactions or edits have to do with national security, things that they feel that could threaten American security if they were revealed in public. However, members of Congress are likely to see a less edited or less redacted report, because those members who are responsible for intelligence committees and the likes do have the right to see more than the public is allowed to see, because they are a part of the process of protecting the nation. Did I get that right, Patrice?
I think you did. I think they have a responsibility, these members of Congress, to see the information and to hold their peace, so to speak, but recognizing that they would have a fuller understanding of both the investigations, the conclusions that were drawn, but also all of the information that was used to come to that decision. To the previous next caller. You know, I do hope that I've been, you know, articulating something that conservatives, liberals, those who have no affiliation or have no name tag, you know, agree, which is that we need to ensure the integrity of our election system, and that especially going into 2020, that should be something of grave concern and great concern. But also that if there was no collusion by the president when he was on the campaign trail and his campaign with the Russian government, that is also something that every American should be pleased about. So, you know, hopefully that is coming across from me.
On now to Pamela in Washington, D.C. Pamela, you're on the air. It's your turn.
Hi. I just wanted to say it's really frustrating. I feel like I'm being gaslighted because we're all looking at the same set of facts and people are coming to completely different conclusions. He's obviously guilty. He obviously colluded. He obstructed justice. He's a racist. I mean, come on. He's illiterate. And I don't understand.
You heard all of that in the report?
I did. I'm not just watching. I've read things. I've watched the news as it comes out. He's admitted as such. He said.
So what you seem to be saying, Pamela, is that you don't care what the Mueller report says.
No, I do care.
Okay.
And I see. I've read a little bit of it already online. And they said he's done 10 things that could be construed as obstruction.
True.
But they decided not to make it a criminal obstruction case against him for whatever reason, or maybe they're leaving it to Congress. But people keep saying he hasn't done anything. That's not true.
Can we draw that kind of conclusion, Patrice?
To say that we haven't done anything, I'm not sure what, excuse me, what anything is.
Well, what the report finds is that there was no collusion, but it has not come to a definitive conclusion on whether or not the president may have obstructed the investigation.
Well, and I think there's the question of a legal standard of whether he could be prosecuted for something like that versus whether he could be investigated through some of the congressional committees. And I think we can expect there to be some congressional hearings and investigation. So, you know, to I made a point earlier, which is that Americans have, you know, mixed opinions on this investigation. And I don't think, I mean, most people, I think it sets up in thirds. A third of people will always question and will always believe that he did something wrong. A third of people will believe that he was innocent and that this was an entire hoax on the part of this investigation was really a hoax. And then a third of people may never know for certain. And I think the callers are kind of breaking down pretty evenly. And it's very much partisan driven. What I think and hope unites all of us once again is the hope that we are ensuring the integrity of our electoral system, that social media companies we're understanding what role they have in trying to filter this misinformation that gets passed along, and that's from both sides of the aisle, so that when we go to the poll in 2020, that we can, you know, be assured that no other country is trying to tamper and impacting the election results of our campaigns.
Speaking of that, here's George in Ybor City. George, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I want to make two comments. One real quick to address the caller that was just on. I want her and I want everyone out there to read Donald Trump's first book. Because all these people that think he's a racist, like she said, and he did this and he did that, it says in his first book, the strategy that he's negotiating, it's all negotiation. His strategy is win-win. In other words, it's win or not lose. That's different than win or lose. It's very different. And all the stuff that he says about being a racist and the border wall and all of that is negotiation. It's not literal.
Okay, but what do you want to say about the Mueller report?
Well, now, the Mueller report, Mueller very, very wisely didn't weigh in. All he said is, here's the evidence. Here's the evidence. I'm going to pass it on.
Okay.
And let the authorities decide.
And who are the authorities to which you think he's referring?
Well, that's a good question, because the media and the public is already convicting him, but doesn't have to go through.
Well, your phone is breaking up, but I wanted to bring this issue to Patrice, because it's not just the analysts and those in the Beltway bubble who are clearly extremely polarized politically right now. How does that affect the way the average American responds to this report? And do you think it will change any minds?
I don't think it will change any minds. Let me quote a CNN poll from just earlier, I think last week. After Barr's memo was released a couple of weeks ago, only 13% said the findings would sway their decisions about who to vote for in 2020. 86% said the investigation wouldn't make a difference in their votes. So while that third of people who are not certain about what happened in this investigation, maybe they will come to a conclusion. People have already made up their minds that this investigation is not going to have an impact on how they vote. So that's forward looking. When we think about how this plays outside of the Beltway, it's going to depend very much on what news you're consuming and how that's covered. If you're watching the evening news tonight at 6 p.m. and you're in, you know, Kansas this evening, it's going to depend on how you're local news is covering that issue. And very often it's going to be one headline, and the headline may be based on what the president's meme of him, Game of Thrones, game over, or it could be more of the opposing side, which is there's so much to dig into, we don't know, and he probably did something, so we'll find out. But again, a lot of people are still set in their minds, and they have decided whether they agree or disagree. And for many people, it's not even going to matter about how they vote in 2020.
This is a tough one. Attorney General Barr has said he has no objection to Robert Mueller testifying. Do you think he should? Do you think Congress should subpoena Robert Mueller?
I absolutely think Congress will subpoena Robert Mueller. I would like to be done with this, honestly. We've spent 2 years as a nation waiting for this investigation. We had confidence in Mueller going into this. People have lost their confidence over the past year, depending on what side of the aisle you're on. But he's come to a report, a conclusion. He has produced a report. And it's important for our country that we can continue, we can move forward, even if we disagree on issues and how we, and solutions, but to move forward from this. And I think continuing these hearings will continue to keep a question mark over this administration.
You know. Well, are you suggesting that there shouldn't be hearings?
It's up to Congress to decide if they want to do hearings. The question is whether the outcomes of those hearings are going to advance our democracy or advance our nation forward. And I don't think they are. I think they're meant to be polarizing.
And I'm afraid that's got to be the last word. Patrice Onwuka is a senior policy analyst at the Independent Women's Forum, a conservative organization focused on policies and issues affecting women and their families. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Today's show was produced by Ingelisa Schwarzdorf and Sydney Grannon. Coming up tomorrow, the Politics Hour. Virginia Delegate Danica Rome joins us to talk about the state of Democratic politics in Virginia after a legislative session filled with scandals. And Maryland Delegate Derek Davis joins us to share why he is trying to be the next Speaker of the Maryland House. That all starts tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Kojo Nandi.
The Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Julie Deppenbrock, and Margaret Barthel. Our managing producer is Angelisa Schrobstorf, and our senior producer is Mana Kashvi. Our intern is Sydney Grannon, and our engineer is Josephine Neonai. For past shows and more content, visit kojoshow.org.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.